Celia shifted, wrapping her arms tighter around the body next to her. Smooth skin with hard muscle beneath, warm like a crock filled with fresh-baked cookies. She put her nose into the thick braid of hair and inhaled. The scent was euphoric. Celia's eyes popped open. Night, girl. She gave Lisa a shove to wake her. Fell asleep again. Celia glanced at the window, where a faint glow shone through the shutter slats of her house. Nearly sunup. You've got to get... Shh. Lisa reached a hand behind her, stroking Celia's face until her calloused fingers settled gently on Celia's lips. Mom and Dad went up to Jeff Bale's farm to help prepare. Never know I hadn't been home. Lisa snuggled back into the feathered pillow, quickly falling back to sleep. Celia drew a deep breath and curled around her, attempting the same. Lisa was right. But Celia had never been good at sleeping when there were problems to worry at. Lisa's parents might be away, but she was still living under their roof. The young woman had barely 20 summers, while Celia was laying stores against her 69th winter. Lying with another woman was already enough to ignite town gossip. Taking a lover less than a third her age might see folks strip her of her speaker's gavel. If they didn't just put her out in the night and have done. Even as Celia squeezed her eyes shut, the sight of Renna Tanner, staked in town square for the demons, remained. No, we don't do that anymore. But Celia remembered how quickly Georgie had turned the town against Renna, and he had far more reason to want Celia staked than some barley-headed farm girl. Celia's arm, tucked beneath Lisa, grew numb. The woman's heat had them both sweating, a sticky bond to their skin. Too uncomfortable to sleep, Celia began the slow process of working her arm free without waking her partner. Already she was planning the day. Lisa's family weren't the only one to head up to Jeff Bales' farm. It was new moon, and Jeff had called the town council to meet on his property that night. It was an unusual request for the town council to meet outside town square, not to mention at night. But there were rumors about what Jeff was building on his farm, and all wanted to know the truth of it. Celia didn't need to guess. Arlen Bales paid his father a visit last moon. She knew this because that same night, Renna Tanner had materialized in Celia's yard, catching her and Lisa with their skirts up. The Brooks' prodigal children brought grave warnings. Smart demons, shape changers, Corlings working in concert, dismantling wards like Bales's reaping a field. Tibbetts Brook was still coming to grips with fighting even normal demons. The battle wards were spreading, but few had tested themselves against the night. Folk weren't prepared for what was coming. Celia slipped from the bed, quietly padding to the wash basin. Lisa's scent clung to her, evidence of their indiscretion. Renna had stayed hidden until Celia sent Lisa away and offered no judgment over the tea and cookies, but it was a reminder of how careless they had become. Folk used to call you Baron, Renna told her, but tonight's got me wondering they got it wrong. If Celia and Lisa didn't stop, it was only a matter of time before the town found out. She feared the graybeards might already be recalling old rumors and making guesses. Celia splashed her face. The water was cold, shocking away the last vestiges of sleep. She looked at her reflection in the same silvered mirror she'd used for almost 70 years, but the face staring back was only dimly familiar. A faded memory brought back to life. The deep lines in her face had shallowed to nothing. Her once white hair was yellow at the roots and growing. That hair was a rarity in the brook, a gift from her father, Edouard, a Milanese messenger who decided to make Tibbetts Brook his home. Celia looked at her hands. The once translucent skin was now thick and tough, spots of age melting away into sun-browned flesh. She straightened, but there wasn't so much as a twinge as her back aligned. No ache in her shoulders and knees, no sparks of pain as her knuckles flexed. Next to the basin, within easy reach, was the spear Arlen Bales had given her. She brushed her fingertips over the delicate wards carved into its length, shivering in remembrance of the rush of magic that traveled up its shaft when she struck her first demon with it. The power was wild, intoxicating. In its grip, she moved with strength and speed that were inhuman, fighting with animal passion.